Good evening. I'll be reading James chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. Again, that is James chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive the meekness of implanted words, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving only yourselves.
Good evening. Great to see everybody tonight. Glad that you are here. And we're thankful for those who've been traveling, who are able to be back home with us. And certainly we want to keep in mind all of those who are visiting with us, some of whom were actually home for a visit, if you ask me. But let's keep all of those in our prayers. Tonight we're going to be looking simply at James chapter 1, considering this idea, pardon me, that God gave us one mouth and two ears for a reason. I know you've heard that before. He gave us one mouth and two ears for a reason. Why? So we can listen twice as much as we talk. But I'll be honest with you, we don't do that so much. No, we'd rather, we've all got a story to tell, and we've got some things we need to get out. And sometimes we're not listening very well because we want to get out what we want to get out. You know, I read recently a story about a man who was in a poorer part of town, and he was walking along, and he had a mule and a dog with him, and they were going along, and suddenly a truck came around the corner, came down the road just lickety split. The man jumped out of the way, landed in the ditch, but somehow or another the truck hit the mule and the dog, and so. The man, he lost his mule and his dog, so he decided he would take them to court. And he'd sue that truck and that driver that was in that truck. And he sued them, and they were in court. And he was sitting on the man who lost his mule and lost his dog was sitting on the witness stand. And he told the story. And then the defense attorney got up to cross-examine, and he said, "I've got one simple question for you, sir. Did you or did you not say you were just fine directly after the accident?" And he said, "Well, you see, what was happening was I was walking my mule." No. Answer my question, yes or no. Did you or did you not say you were just fine right after the accident? And he said, "Well, sir, you see what it was." Judge, you got to tell him he's got to answer this question. And the judge said, "Well, he seems like he's got a story he wants to tell, so let's let him tell it." Defense attorney didn't like this none at all because he knew what was going to happen. The man said, "Well, you see, I was walking along with my mule and my dog, and a guy came around the corner in his truck, lickety split, and he got me, the dog, and the mule. We were all laying in the ditch, and the man got out, and he saw that my dog was just about dead, so he got in his truck, got his gun, and shot him dead. Then he noticed my mule had a broken leg, and it wasn't pretty, and so he shot the mule dead. And then he looked over at me laying there in the ditch and said, 'How are you?' I said, 'I'm just fine.'" Sometimes we need to listen to the whole story to get it all out there. And we need to be listening to every bit along the way. And when we look at this passage tonight, we can't help but realize that in fact, God did give us two ears and one mouth for a reason. And you know, the wisdom of the Proverbs is a good place to think on these things, because in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 28, there's a verse there that you've probably heard one way or another, but this is how it reads. "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise when he closes his lips." That's what it says. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise when he closes his lips, for he is deemed intelligent. Listening. listening. Something very simple, but a habit that we need to start developing in the upcoming year. Something that we need to think about seriously, like listening to God. Simply listening to God. Did you realize that when you listen to someone else, you are actually showing them one of the greatest points of honor that you can show them? Paying attention, giving them the full attention that they need, taking in what they say. You know, when I'm working with people who are having difficulty communicating in marriages, usually I will say, we're going to learn to do something I call drive-through communication. And here's how it works. You see, when you go to the drive-through window and you'll say, I want a burger, fries, and a Coke. And they'll come back and say, so, did you want an apple pie, milkshake? No. I want a burger, fries, and a Coke. So you said you wanted a burger, fries, and a Coke. Exactly. Ah, well now, why do they do that? They do that so that they completely understand what you're asking them. Now that is if you can understand them, because about half the time all I hear is more. But anyway, that's something entirely different. This idea of drive-through listening means that when someone's talking to you and you don't really pay attention, you need to stop and say, this is what I heard. I heard that you wanted a milkshake and an apple pie. No. What I said was hamburger and french fries. Oh. So hello, I got it. Now, that's how we honor each other, is by listening to one another. And one of the fundamental places we need to be going to listen to God is by way of His Word. You know, we need to be thinking about less of what we want to say and more about what others are trying to communicate to us. Being slow to speak. And when we look at verse 20 in James chapter 1, we see that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And we see that when we're quick to speak, we can be quick to anger because we're quick to respond. And what we need to be are those who are slower to respond and slower to anger, because if anger is something that's not producing righteousness before God, simply put, I'm producing evil. And I don't want to be doing that. And quick words and quick anger lead us down a path that is very dangerous. Words that come back and we have to taste them again. So we need to make sure they go out salted the way we need them to. And then there's this path of loneliness that comes when we're quick with our words and quick with an anger, because that path of loneliness is a result of pushing other people away. And then there's that path of insecurity that comes along because we've kept God at a distance. We've kept Him at a distance because we really know what the truth is. We know that we need to humbly submit to Him and follow what the psalmist tells us in Psalm 25. There at verse 4, he says this, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Can't teach if all I'm doing is talking. I can't be taught, I should say, if all I'm doing is talking. I need to listen. And I need to learn. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Now, if I'm going to pray this prayer that the psalmist gives us here, then I'm really going to have to listen to what God presents to me. I'm really going to have to pay attention to His words. And I need to let His word lead me rather than me taking His word and trying to lead it. The wisdom we find in the Proverbs of chapter 2 says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And there you will find the knowledge of God. It seems, as we look at these things, that wisdom here begs for listening. God has the plan. God's plan never fails, by the way. God's plan never fails. The question for us is, will we listen to it? Will we ask Him to help us? Again, when we go back to the book of James, in the very first chapter there, verse 5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask it of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed with the wind. Truth is, if we ask him, he will provide. Of all of the things that we need, I would say the very first that we need in the year 2016 is salvation. Amen? And then number two would be wisdom. Because with wisdom, we understand how to treat all of our relationships. And God tells us he will provide if we'll ask. And guess what? He always keeps his promises. He keeps all of his promises. So the quandary for us is, will I have the courage to truly ask him for wisdom? Because he will answer. Will I have the courage to ask him for wisdom? That sounds kind of absurd, and we would never say this, but I'm afraid that too many times we think we've got it, we don't need God's help until some sort of tragedy comes. We need to be basking in his glory 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, amen? We need to be looking to him and thinking about him in all the things that we do. If we will put him as our priority in the things that we do, he will reward. Now, it's not going to necessarily mean that those things are going to be rewarded by the way the world measures reward, by big bank accounts and great power or those kinds of things. But I'll tell you, that city that John describes in the book of Revelation is more beautiful than anything on this earth. More beautiful to behold, a place where all of the physical suffering we won't have anymore. All of those kinds of things will be gone when we arrive in that wonderful place. How wonderful it will be. And God keeps his promises to all those who will listen. We need to remember how desperately we need God's help in everything that we do, so that we can indeed be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves, as we read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. You know, John scribes for us the words of Jesus as he says these things in chapter 10. He says, my sheep hear my voice, in verse 27, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. Jesus says he knows us if we'll follow him. If we'll listen to him and follow him, he protects us and guides us to that most important part, eternity. And he says, nobody can take us away from him. Nobody can take us away from God. You know what that means? That means that when we're distanced from him, it's because we gave it up. It was our decision. Nobody can take us out of God's hand. If we're listening to him, it is our own choice. And ignoring his word, my friend, is simply and clearly a lack of faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul wrote that to the Romans in chapter 10, verse 17. The question for us is, do we trust him? Do we really trust him? He's always kept his promises, my friend. If we will listen to him, he will show us the way. So I want to encourage you. Remember, I challenged you for three things this year, this morning. Number one, I will be at every worship service and Bible study. Number two, I'm going to get a chronological Bible and I'm going to read that thing through this year. Young and old, you can do that. Number three, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do, and I'm going to commit to it, and I'm going to stick with it, and I'm going to stretch myself and go just one more this year. Those are things you can do. Those are things I can do. These are things that we can put our hands to this year. Do you realize what we can do as God's people if we will listen to him and follow him and do these simple things this year? Oh, the great work that can be done for the kingdom of God and how we can glorify him. And when we're looking towards glorifying him in what we do, he's going to see to it that his work prospers. Remember, as I've heard it said by a wise man many times, we'll work together and do what God asks us to do, being not concerned with who gets the credit. We'll get amazing things done together as God's people. And that's what he tells us. If we'll listen to him, he will prosper us. He will walk with us. And he will continue to be patient with us as long as we live. Because as we read in Revelation chapter 3, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Will you hear his voice? Will you listen to him today? Jesus has an invitation for you. He says, come, follow me. Are you listening? I mean, really listening? Jesus says, come, follow me. And it could be that there are those with us this evening who would say yes. Yes, and I want to encourage you to put God first, because I've seen the amazing things that God can do. So maybe not only listening to God, but listening to others round about us, those who will encourage us, those who will help us along the way. Those who are concerned about our well-being. That's a wonderful thing to have those round about us who are concerned with our well-being. We see an example of that in Luke chapter 16. There was a rich man there who was clothed with purple and fine linen and feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with that which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And there he found himself in Hades, raising up his eyes. And there he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received good things, and Lazarus in like manner received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And beside all this, between us and you is a great chasm. It's been fixed in order that those who would not pass from here to there, and none may be able to cross. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if somebody goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Now the application for us in this lesson is this, that we need to listen to those who have great concern for our well-being. Those who are concerned for our best. You know, there's always somebody with advice, isn't there? There's always somebody that's got something to say. Always somebody that knows just a little bit more. Always somebody that's got some kind of thing that they can share and can speak with great authority. The rich man, he just wanted to tell his brothers that this thing about being right with God was important. He just wanted to get that message to them. He was concerned about their best. So when there are those round about us who are looking out for our best, perhaps we should lend ear. At least try to think on these things, because sometimes they tell us things we don't want to hear. At least real friends do. Paul even wrote to the Galatians in chapter 4, verse 16, "Am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth?" No, not your enemy at all. Real friends warn us when they see us headed for danger. They will warn us. Now, instead of getting angry, which is our first response when someone says, "You're off track," nobody wants to hear that, right? But when somebody shares something like that with us, maybe rather than getting upset, we need to think, you know, it took a lot of courage, number one, to say that. Number two, my friends would only be the ones who would tell me something like that. Everyone else would enable me. By the way, we're not being friends to someone when we enable them. Proverbs chapter 12, beginning at verse 15, says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Good advice is inferred there. "The anger of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit." The fool is the one who gets angry when someone tries to help. Let us not be foolish. At least we need to consider that someone cares enough to say, "I see you straying." It could be that that person just has a perception that's gone wrong. Or it could be the truth. And when we cease to hear instruction and we stray from the words of knowledge, we find ourselves in a position of loss. That we find in the wisdom of the Proverbs at chapter 19 and verse 27. So if we hold up a mirror and we don't like what we see and we walk away, would that not be foolish? This morning, when I got up, even what little hair I've got was all askew. I needed to shave. I'm just not pretty in the morning, I'll just tell you. It takes a while to do this. I hope you're laughing with me, by the way. But how foolish would it be if I came here to be with you this morning and said, "Well, I looked in the mirror and I didn't like what I saw, so I just forgot it and I came on anyway." I said, "Jeff, that was some of the ugliest pajamas I've ever seen." But spiritually speaking, when we look in the mirror, we need to do something about what we see, amen? We need to do something about what we see. James said, "If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man that looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be a blessing in his doing." Real listening means I'm going to evaluate the message. I'm going to evaluate what's trying to be communicated to me. And I'm going to pay attention. You know, there was a lady that I saw in traffic, you know, and I'm so observant of these things. I don't know why, but when I'm driving around, there was a lady that was driving a car and her tire was almost flat. And, you know, from a guy's perspective, the first thing that went through my mind was, "Oh, you're about to ruin that tire. Stop that car." So I'm beeping, beep, beep, wave, wave, wave. She's going like crazy, man. I'm not looking over that way. I'm not looking that way. beep, beep, ma'am, tired. She didn't pay me any attention, and I knew good and well that she was going to drive a few more miles and shred that tire. But I'll tell you what's even more important than her damaging that tire. She was in danger, didn't even know it. What if she got that thing up to 55, 60 miles an hour and that tire just came right off the rim and she went sideways down the road? Who knows what could have happened? I was trying to get her attention and she wouldn't listen. I wonder, do we do those around us that care about us that way? Sometimes they're trying to get our attention and they're trying to be gentle. They're beeping the horn, beep, beep, look. And we look the other way. Who are you to judge me? I'm not judging you at all. I'm just a sinner just like you. That's why I share these things. We all need God's grace, His mercy, and His forgiveness. Amen? So why should we not be listening to those round about us who care about us and love us and those who want to encourage us? We need to be those who are listening to those things, really hearing those things that are going to make some positive difference in our lives. It's so easy to be a person who's garbage in, garbage out. You know, that's old computer lingo. Whatever you put in is what comes out. And that's why we need to be careful and listen to those who are trying to help and encourage us rather than those who want to tear us down or everybody else in the vicinity just so they can make you feel bad. When we're listening to others, we need to be listening and encouraging, and we need to be helping others along that way as well, because those things lend us in a direction to help us formulate how we are on the inside. Whatever we put on the inside is what comes out. And you know, I put up here, listen to your heart. And the world loves that, by the way. Listen to your heart. Whatever you think is right. Well, you've missed something here. That's not what I'm getting at. We need to listen to our heart because that's a barometer of where we stand before God. Look with me at Mark chapter 7. Down at verse 14, we read this. And he called the people again to him and said, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he had entered in the house, he left the people. His disciples asked him about the parable. He said to them, 'Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatsoever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him, since it enters not into his heart, but into his stomach and is expelled?' Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, 'What comes out of a person is what defiles him.'" So the question is, if I listen to my heart, it's going to tell me what I've been feeding it. If I find myself in the most comfortable place and it is complaint circle, then that tells me a little bit about where my heart is. And the problem with that is I'm going to be chasing others away and I'm going to be discouraging those who would dare draw near. And if my most uncomfortable place, or my most comfortable place, I should say, is the exit just before I engage God and His people. Did you catch that? My most comfortable place being the exit just before I engage God and His people. Can't say it any other way, but you've wandered from your faith if that's where you are. And I don't say that because I'm your enemy. I don't believe anybody here is anybody's enemy. I believe we're in these things together so that we're trying to help each other get to that place called heaven. But with these things in mind, we need to help one another. We need to help each other. We need to draw nigh unto God. And we need to understand, first of all, that no matter where we are, God knows. He knows. And secondly, I'm just going to have to admit it to you, my friend. Even though everybody's not on your back, people notice where you are. They do. And they love you. And if you find yourself separated from God, maybe you think you're the only one who knows. Maybe you are. But the truth of the matter is, when you're separated from God, that's the most tragic thing in this life. When we think about losing things means nothing compared to losing eternity. I'm not your enemy because I tell you the truth. I am your friend because I love you. And dear friend, if your endeavor has not been to draw one step closer to God every single day that you have the ability to live, let me encourage you, write this on your hand. I will draw one step closer to God every day. That's my goal. And with that goal in mind, I'm going to really find that not only will I enjoy this life more, but I have eternity in front of me. Because you see, the devil can steal my things, my family, and even my life, but he can't have my soul unless I give it to him. So what's my heart saying? How am I reacting to this kind of message? Am I angry? Did I drop a wall? You know, we do that emotionally. Would you just take a breath for a minute and ask yourself, where do I plan to be if I never see another sunrise? If the first Sunday in 2017, I am but a memory, where will I be? Have I been listening to God? Will I have listened to others who were encouraging me, or will I take offense to those things and just take whatever comes? Friend, I got to tell you, I got to plead with you. I got to beg you, don't do that. Don't do that. This night may be the last night of your life. And it may be the first night of the rest of your life. Don't let this hour pass without making all things right with God. That's all that's important. That's all that's important, that you be right with God. How do I do that, Jeff? Well, Jesus said we need to believe in him. And there's not a person in the world, I think, that would disagree with me that Jesus said we need to believe in him. But James tells us now that even the demons believe and tremble. So is that all? No, we're talking about something that's going to be active. Because Jesus told us this morning, you know, we can't put our hands to the plow and then look back and expect to have the reward. No, we need to be those who are looking forward, and we need to be making some changes in our lives all the time, growing closer to him, repenting of those things that we know stand between us and God. He tells us in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, except we repent, we're going to perish. And he tells us also that we need to be willing to confess him before others in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. He says, if you believe me and you're baptized, you'll be saved in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. What a great blessing that is. And I would dare say the majority here this evening know that. But when we step forward for the remainder of this year, God willing that we should enjoy the time in the year 2016, where will I be? Will I put him first? or have I grown cold and distant in my relationship with God for whatever reason it is, my friend, you're not alone. We're here to pray with you and for you that all things be right with Him. I beg you, don't let this hour pass. Don't let this hour pass without making all things right with Him. Listen to His call now as together we stand and sing.